This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the time in Mecca when things were extremely difficult at the culmination of a three-year boycott, the last of which was known as Aam al-Huzn, or the Year of Sorrow, because of the death of two of the closest people to the Prophet ﷺ himself, his wife Khadija radhiyallahu anha, and his uncle Abu Talib, who was a father figure for him for up until that point, 42 years. And he died as a non-Muslim. And the death of the two of them was extremely difficult upon the Prophet ﷺ. But one of the practical implications of the death of Abu Talib was that he no longer had the protection that he once enjoyed. And so as things became more difficult upon the Muslims and upon him specifically in Mecca, and after 10 years of da'wah and the doors being closed, he went to the city of Ta'if to give da'wah there. Now Ta'if, if any of you have been there before, you know it's over 60 miles away from Mecca. And it's situated in a very high elevation. And so the Prophet ﷺ set off on this journey of over 60 miles with his adopted son Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, walking in the desert heat, and they left in the middle of the day because that was a time when no one would suspect him to leave. And the elevation gain is over 5,000 feet from Mecca to Ta'if. And so he sets out on this journey. Now him, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the father, not the messenger, but the father is leaving behind in the hornet's nest of Mecca four of his daughters. But he goes to Ta'if nevertheless to give the message, to give the da'wah, and he does so and he spends some time there, and no one who he presented the message to accepted him. He presented to the people and he presented to the leaders of Ta'if, three brothers, all of whom mocked and ridiculed the Messenger of Allah. And finally, after spending at least 10 days there in Ta'if, to hasten his exit from the city, they sent, as you know, the slaves and the children, the like, to stone him as he left the city. And so the stoning, it wasn't just yani from here to the door of the masjid, مثلاً, like this distance. These mobs of people chased the Prophet and were stoning him and throwing rocks at him until he reached a garden that was situated 2 miles plus outside of Ta'if, belonging to one of the leaders of the enemies of Islam in Mecca. Ta'if was, because of its high elevation, had better weather, and so it was almost like a vacation homes they would have in Ta'if. And so 2 miles of continuously being stoned, and that's why when you read the narration that he was bloodied until his sandals were sticking to his feet, you can imagine that 2 miles continuous. And that's why when Aisha asked the Messenger of Allah, was there a day harder in your life than the day of Uhud? He said, no, it was a day of Ta'if. He said, when I left Ta'if, he says, وَأَنَا مَهْمُومٌ عَلَى وَجْهِ, I was overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness. He says, فَلَمْ أَسْتَفِقْ إِلَّا وَأَنَا بِقَرْنِ الثَّعَالِبِ, I didn't يعني, become aware of my surroundings and what's going on until I reached قَرْنِ الثَّعَالِبِ. قَرْنِ الثَّعَالِبِ is over 30 miles away from Ta'if. So you can imagine the level of pain and sorrow and anguish, both physical and emotional, that he was feeling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was at this moment in a narration that some scholars have debated its authenticity, but regardless of the debate, there is absolutely no doubt in every letter of this dua, there is a truth of nubuwa. When he turns to Allah in this situation, And he says, Allahumma inni ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, it is only you, only to you that I complain the weakness of my strength. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. And the scarcity of my resources and my humiliation in front of the people. يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Oh, the most merciful of those who show mercy. أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي. You are the Lord of the oppressed and you are my Lord. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي. To whom have you left my affair? إِلَى بَعِيدِي يَتَجَهَّمُنِي. To someone far away in Ta'if that will turn me away. أَمْ إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي. Or an enemy in Mecca who you've given control of my affair over. Then he says, إِلَّمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. But oh Allah, so long as I know that you are not angry with me, then I don't mind. وَلَكِنْ عَافِيَتَكَ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. But your ease, your safety, your blessing is easier for me if you can do so. Then he says, أَعُوذُ بِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَشْرَقَتْ لَهُ الظُّلُمَاتِ. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in the light of your countenance that wipes away all darknesses. وَصَلُحَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And all the affairs of this dunya and the hereafter would be rectified. أَنْ يَحِلَّ بِيَ غَضَبُكَ. That, oh Allah, that perhaps your anger will descend upon me. Or your, أَنْ يَنْزِلَ بِيَ سَخَطُكَ. Or your anger, your displeasure will come upon me. لَكَ الْعُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ. And you have the right to censor so long as you wish. And there is absolutely no power or might in changing the condition except with you, O Allah. So you see, the Messenger of Allah made this extremely powerful dua. Turning to Allah, presenting his situation in front of Allah, and begging Allah to help him, acknowledging that Allah has the power and the strength. And then when we fast forward in the seerah a few more years to the day that Aisha radiallahu anha thought was the most difficult to the Prophet, the day of Uhud. When Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his lip was gashed and his cheek was cut open and his helmet was smashed into his skull that they weren't able to stop the bleeding until they had to put burning embers in the wound to seal it from bleeding, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as he's wiping away the blood from his face, he's saying, كَيْفَ يُفْلِحُ قَوْمٌ. How can a people be successful who have injured the face of their Prophet وَهُوَ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And is only, in all he's doing is calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When his uncle Hamza was martyred, and not just martyred but mutilated, Abdullah bin Jahsh was mutilated, Mus'ab bin Umayr lost his arms, the list goes on of the companions. And again in that moment, as the Muslims and the Messenger of Allah ascended the mountain of Uhud, as the battle came to a close, before he وسلم, went down and saw all the martyrs, but he knows what happened, he tells the companions who are with him, استووا, make straight lines, just like the Imam says for Salah, make straight lines, حتى أثني على ربي, so that I may praise my Lord. Imagine that. The pain that he's physically feeling and the emotional feeling he's having of knowing so many of his close companions were martyred, and not just martyred but mutilated. And then the narration says, and Bukhari records this in Adab al-Mufrad, this companions form lines and lines and rows behind the Messenger of Allah, and he raised his hands and he began making a dua to Allah. And he says, Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, O Allah, to you belongs all praise. Allahumma la qabida lima basat, O Allah, there is no one who can restrict what you give and expand. وَلَا مُقَرِّبَ لِمَا بَعَتْ وَلَا مُبَعِدَ لِمَا قَرَّبْتْ. And there is no one who could bring close what you make distant, nor make distant what you bring close. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتْ وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتْ. And oh Allah, there is no one who can withhold what you give, nor can anyone give what you withhold. And so after praising Allah and acknowledging and recognizing and teaching the companions behind him who are raising these in their hands, making dua to Allah, that Allah is fully in control, he then asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asks him for blessings of this dunya and the hereafter. He says, Allahumma absut alayna min barakatika wa rahmatika wa fadlika wa rizqik. Oh Allah, open, expand for us the blessings and the mercy and the bounties and your provision. And he says, "Oh Allah, inni as'aluka an-na'im al-muqim alladhi la yahulu wa la yazul. Oh Allah, I ask you for an abiding blessing that will never go away or be removed. Allahumma inni as'aluka an-na'im yawm al-aylah wal amn yawm al-harb. Oh Allah, I ask you for a blessing on the day of utter poverty and security on the day of fear. Allahumma a'idhan bika min su'i ma a'taytana wa sharri ma mana'ta minna. Oh Allah, and I seek refuge in you from the evil of what you give us and the harm of what you give us and the evil of what you have presented from us." And then you see the beautiful dua. He continues, "Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal fusuq wal 'asyan waj'alna min ar-rashidin." Oh Allah, beautify faith in our hearts. Cause us to love iman and beautify it in our hearts. And allow us to hate disbelief and wicked deeds and sins, and make us amongst the righteous. اللهم توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا وأحينا مسلمين وألحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين. Oh Allah, we ask you to allow us to die as Muslims and to be resurrected as Muslims and to raise us in the companionship of the righteous, not to be amongst those who are humiliated or put to trial. And then after asking Allah for his dunya and his akhirah, he then makes dua against the enemies who did this to them. Allahumma qatil al-kafarat al-ladina yasudduna an sabilik. Oh Allah, fight those who hinder the people from your path. Wa yukadhibuna rusulak. And who reject your messengers. Waj'al alayhim rijsaka wa adhabaka. And oh Allah, send upon them your punishment and your abasement. Allahumma qatil al-kafarat al-ladina utul kitaba ilaha al-haq. Oh Allah, fight the disbelievers from those who have been given the scripture. Oh, the Lord of the truth. And again, just imagine this powerful dua being said at a time when 70 plus companions were martyred. And the companions are there aligning behind the Messenger of Allah, and they're learning something. They're learning that in these times, in times of fitan, in times when the lives are being lost, in times of massacres and the like, which they faced, that we turn to Allah. That you turn to Allah. And then you fast forward again just a few more years as the Messenger of Allah set out with his companions to perform Umrah in the sixth year after Hijrah. And as we know, they were prevented from entering the Masjid, entering Mecca. And then Suhayl ibn Amr comes out, and for sake of time, a negotiation ensues. And a treaty is written down. And as they're writing this treaty, Abu Jandal, the son of Suhail, was a Muslim and he was being tortured in Mecca. He wasn't allowed to make hijrah. He escapes and he comes, يَرْسُفُ فِي قُيُودِهِ. He's literally dragging his chains behind him as he reaches the Muslims. And he throws himself in front of the Muslims. And just as he did that, Suhail is putting a condition upon the Prophet ﷺ that if any Muslim from us leaves and comes to you, you send them back to us. They are not allowed to join you in Medina. But if any non-Muslim, any Muslim from you leaves and joins us, we don't have to send him back. This had not even been written in the treaty yet. Suhail said those words, and his son all of a sudden comes, and the companions, they say that you could, وَكَانَ قَدْ عُذِّبَ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا فِي اللَّهِ. They said literally we could see the severe signs of torture upon him. And so Suhail says, this is the first person. He doesn't go with you. Prophet ﷺ says, we didn't even write it down yet. He says, no, I'm going to walk away from this deal. He says, okay, fine, forget the deal, just between me and you. Leader to leader. You know me, I know you. Just let this one go for me. He says, absolutely not. And so then Suhail is seeing this. He's seeing in front of his eyes that he is about to be sent back to be tortured. To what end that comes to him, Allah knows. And so he says, he turns to the Muslims. And he says, أي معشر المسلمين أُرَدُّ إِلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَقَدْ جِئْتُ مُسْلِمًا. Are you going to send me back when I came to you as a Muslim? أَلَا تَرَوْنَ مَا قَدْ لَقِيتُ. Don't you see what I've faced? You see the torture upon me. But the Prophet ﷺ couldn't do anything. And he was sent back. Umar al-Khattab at that moment, he kind of just, he felt something. He goes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, alasta nabiyallahi haqqa? O Messenger of Allah, aren't you the Prophet of Allah in truth? He says, Bala, yes. Then he says, alasta ala al-haq wa aduwuna ala al-batil? Aren't we on the truth and our enemies on falsehood? Qalu bala. Yes. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, falima nu'ti daniyata fi dinina? Then why should we kind of humiliate ourselves in this way? All the conditions of the treaty were against the Muslims. How should we do that? And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Inni Rasulullah, walastu a'si, wa huwa nasiri. I am the Messenger of Allah, and I will never disobey Allah, and indeed Allah is constantly in my aid. Now al-Khattab, again, he's hearing this, but he's seeing something else. You're saying Allah is my helper, but I'm seeing Abu Jandal being tortured and being set back. And so he says, and he's looking for anything, he's pulling at straws, he says, أَوَلَيْسَ كُنْتَ تُحَدِّثُنَا أَنَّا سَنَأْتِ الْبَيْتَ فَنَطُوفَ بِهِ O Messenger of Allah, didn't you tell us we'll make tawaf around the house of Allah, we'll perform umrah? Like people say now, didn't you say the help of Allah is coming close? Doesn't Allah say in the Quran that ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb, the victory of Allah is near? Doesn't Allah say in the Quran, amma yujibul muttarra idha da'a? Well, I'm making dua, but where is my dua being answered? We have these questions. And Khattab says, didn't you say we will make tawaf? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, yes. But did I tell you that it would be this year? Did I explicitly say we'll make tawaf this year? And he says, no, you didn't. Then he says, فَإِنَّكَ آتِيهِ وَمُطَوِّفٌ بِهِ Then you indeed will make tawaf. You will be there. And you fast forward, subhanAllah, the next year when they made Umrah. And many of you are going to Umrah next week, or in the winter break, or you've been to Umrah and Hajj before. It's remarkable. When you perform Sa'i, and you stand on Safa and Marwa, you know what the Prophet ﷺ used to do? The Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Just 1 year later, he would face the Kaaba. The same place at the Kaaba, on one side of it, they would torture the companions in Mecca just a few years ago. He's looking at the, imagine, put yourself in his shoes. 7 years after being driven out of your home, you're now back in Mecca performing tawaf and performing umrah. And you're looking at the Kaaba with your own eyes. Imagine the flood of memories coming back to the Prophet of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud, the first companion to recite the Quran publicly, he stood in front of the Kaaba. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Quran, khalaqa al-insan. He began reciting Ar-Rahman and he was beaten so severely that he almost died. Right in front of the Kaaba. These are memories perhaps playing through the mind of the companions as they're looking at the Kaaba. And what are they saying? La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. La ilaha illallah wahdah. Anjaza wa'dah. Wa nasara abdah. Wa hazama al ahzaba wahdah. There is no God but Allah. He is one. He fulfilled the promise to his slave. And he gave victory to his slave, and he alone defeated the confederates, the army. وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَ We hear that a lot. In Eid Takbirat, we say, وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَ What is that referring to? In Al-Ahzab, when the Muslims were besieged, and they were attacked for a month, and nothing's coming in other than arrows flying in onto Medina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends a storm upon the people of Mecca, who were camped outside. And their tents are being uprooted and their fires are blown out. And their horses are running in fear and they turn around and they rush back to Mecca. Allah did that. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru ni'matallahi alaykum. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا O you who believe, remember the favor of Allah upon you. He says, when an army came upon you, and we sent upon them a wind and an army that you weren't able to see yourself, and Allah was indeed seeing everything. But we see, subhanAllah, in these moments when you can lose clarity, when you can lose sight, when you can forget some of what we learned in times of ease, at these moments of the most difficult circumstances, the Messenger of Allah was teaching the companions turn back to Allah and know Allah is my helper and victor. وَهُوَ نَاصِرِي. He will most indeed definitely give me victory. And we ask Allah to allow us to keep our hearts firm in times of fitna and to be able to witness the victory of Allah when that comes. Allahumma ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. You fast forward again two more years after that incident, and we find something, a narration that's very interesting of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira was a late convert to Islam, and the Muslims had sent an army to Mu'ta to face the Romans for the first time because the Romans had assassinated a messenger that the Prophet had sent, a tribe loyal to them. And so the Muslims set out with an army of 3,000, and the Romans gathered an army of 100,000. And then another 100,000 from the different tribes surrounding their empire joined in. And so an army of 200,000 is waiting the believers of 3,000. And so imagine that scene. Abu Huraira, for the first time, joining the Muslim army. And he's looking out at an army, he says, as far as the eye can see. And he come with a huge amount of not just manpower, but weaponry and gold and silk and embroidery and all the fans, all their wealth and their weapons and their size of the army, 200,000. So he says, فَبَرِقَ بَصَرِي. My eyes, it was as if they were struck by lightning. And so Thabit ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu, is standing right next to Abu Huraira. And he tells them, Ya Abu Huraira, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى جُمُوعًا كَثِيرًا. Oh Abu Huraira, it's as if you are seeing a massive army. And he says, yeah. So Thabit then teaches him something that Abu Huraira didn't have the benefit of learning by experience. Thabit was there at the Battle of Badr. And so he tells Abu Huraira, إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَشْهَدْ مَعَنَا بَدْرًا إِنَّا لَمْ نُنصَرْ بِالْكَثْرَةً. Oh Abu Huraira, you were not with us in the Battle of Badr. We are not a people who are given victory based on numbers. We are not a people who are given victory based on numbers. And so subhanAllah, when Allah says in the Quran, brothers and sisters, that وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ, that indeed Allah will give victory to those who help the religion of Allah, that promise is true. And Allah defines who those people are. الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They establish the prayer, they give zakah, they enjoin the good and they forbid the evil. They are those who Allah will help. So what we are witnessing to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine, we remember first and foremost that when Allah talks about Fir'aun and what he did to the Bani Israel, he was slaughtering their children, massacring babies and infants and children. Allah says, وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. It was indeed a test from Allah, not a test from Fir'aun. And so no matter what the ummah faces, we remember it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these tests are meant to push us back to Allah. Not to lose clarity, not to lose focus, but rather get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we know, when we see, and it's very painful, the bodies and the images of children being blown to pieces, we remember the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that مَا يَجِدُ الشَّهِيدُ مَسَّ الْقَتْلِ إِلَّا كَمَا يَجِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَسَّ الْقَرْصَةِ. He says the shaheed, the martyr, will not feel the death, the pain of death, other than like someone feels like the pinch of his skin. So despite what their bodies have gone through that we see, we know Allah saves them and Allah prepares a reward for them. They don't, no matter what the death may be, the pain that they feel is not what we expect, because the Messenger of Allah said it's just like the prick of a thing. No matter what they go through, Allah is with them. And these tests are meant to push you and I and all the ummah back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're meant to push us back to Allah. So when we see the people of Gaza staying firm on their religion despite what they're going through, we take a lesson that we have to stay firm despite the little that we are going through. When we see the women of Gaza refusing to come out from under the rubble without their hijab, we take a lesson that we'll wear our hijab with pride and our jilbab with pride. When we see the people of Gaza with only a little water left, still feed a thirsty dog, and still use that water to make wudu, we will say to ourselves, we will continue to be charitable to the creation of Allah, and we will never miss a salah again. These are meant to push us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These trials are meant to push us back to Allah. And when we become a people befitting of the description Allah puts in the Quran, we will then become a people befitting of the victory of Allah coming to us. We ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita 'ala Ibrahim wa 'ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik 'ala Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وبيدك الخير كله علانيته وسره. اللهم لك الحمد بالإسلام ولك الحمد بالإيمان ولك الحمد بالقرآن، لك الحمد في الأولى ولك الحمد في الآخرة. سبحانك يا الله ما عبدناك حق عبادتك، سبحانك يا الله ما شكرناك حق شكرك، سبحانك يا الله ما قدرناك حق قدرك. سبحانك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين، لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تفرج هم المهمومين. اللهم فرج عن إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم فرج عنهم. اللهم نفس كربهم. اللهم اجبر كسرهم. اللهم داوي جرحاهم. اللهم عافي مبتلاهم. اللهم ارحم موتاهم وتقبل شهداءهم. اللهم عليك بمن طغى وتكبر وتجبر المسلمين. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيم الصلاة.
Brother, just move forward.